This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
Touchdown!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You like that?
Are you ready?
You like that?
I'll repeat it again here. If you're new to these parts, where the hell have you been? And I'll tell it to you again.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah! Today's guests, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians, from the new ABC drama Big Sky, actor Ryan Phillippe, plus Olympic gold medalist skier Lindsey Vonn. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. I am the host of this show. My name is Rich Eisen.
And that works out.
This is my cardigan. There are many like it, but this one is mine.
You like that?
Yes.
I didn't want to say anything pre-show.
But I walked out. You didn't say a word. I'm wearing a cardigan today.
I didn't say a word. I decided
today's a cardigan day, guys.
I just let you go with
today's
it.
Today's a cardigan day because not only am I best dad ever still. Now, let me do the math. 5 months running.
Wow.
From Father's Day to now. But I like giving people what they want. I think I got my finger firmly on the pulse. I'm about a week late for my haircut, and I decided, let's just go cardigan. That's the way I decided to start the show.
All right.
And hello, Chris Brockman.
Hey.
Hello, Mike Del Tufo.
Hey, Rich.
And hello to my social media grandmaster settling into his seat, TJ Jefferson.
What
good
up,
to see
though?
You. You know, and also, I'm just glad to be here because last night, I didn't know if I'd be able to answer the bell today because I had all of my teeth pulled. No, I'm sorry. That was watching the Bears offense on Monday Night Football. I confused the two.
Easy mistake. What the hell was that?
Well, got to tip the cap to the Minnesota Vikings defense as well.
That's true. That's
got to tip the cap. They've got some playmakers there.
True that.
Harrison Smith, and we had his fellow Golden Domer and Minnesota Viking tight end Kyle Rudolph on the show last month. And I asked him about Harrison Smith defollowing everybody on or unfollowing everybody on his social media accounts. And he's like, well, Harrison's a different sort of guy, and I wouldn't read anything into that. And he's still there. And guess what? Didn't get traded at the trade deadline. Held on to him. He held on to the first errant pass from Nick Foles last night after kind of juggling it. And the Vikings, you could see just how points challenged the Bears were last night. You could see it. And, you know, even if the eye test wasn't telling you what was going on, even if somehow, some way you thought this might be something similar to previous Bears games since they were 5-1, or similar games in which they, you know, came back in the fourth quarter of games where they were points and first downs challenged, that maybe they could put it together in the fourth quarter. All you needed to see was Mike Zimmer's reaction after Cordarrelle Patterson returned the second half kickoff back for a touchdown. And Patterson treating Dan Bailey as if he was just a stationary object, moving right around. That looked like a video game, yeah. You know, where you just kind of moved your – I won't say the word – all right, I'll say the word joystick. I am wearing a cardigan, you know, as you moved your controller around, right? But anyway, you saw Mike Zimmer's reaction. He went and treated his – special teams coordinator like a Pez dispenser, opened up his head and deposited something within it. And it wasn't candy. You saw that. Zimmer was basically like, we've got this game won with a 1-point lead. Okay? We're up 7-6. We've got this game won.
Yeah, for sure.
As long as we don't turn it over and as long as we don't allow that to happen, what are we doing kicking it to him? This thing should be kicked into Lake friggin' Michigan. What are we doing here?
I think that's its official name, too.
So when I saw that, I thought to myself, well, the Bears aren't scoring another point tonight offensively. That you can be sure of because Zimmer knows this thing is zipped up, airtight, as long as they could just not turn it over and do that. And sure enough, the Bears create have a miscue of their own on special teams muffing a punt, which opens the door for the Vikings to eventually take a lead that you knew. I mean, when the Vikings went up 6, it might as well have been 60. And I really feel for Bears fans and the Bears fan base, because that defense is championship quality. That defense is a championship defense. Could you imagine if the Bears had an offense that could put 3 touchdowns on the board? 3. How about 2 touchdowns and 2 field goals?
It works.
I'll do the math for you. That's 20 points. But 3 touchdowns. An offense that scores 3 times a game in the opponent's end zone. Similar to many, if not most, offenses in the NFL. Honestly, give the Bears even the 49ers offense, the B-team 49ers offense. Give the Bears defense, name any other team. Not name the Jets. Give them the Jaguars offense. Seriously. I'm serious. You give the Bears the offense that we've seen Jake Luton provide over the last couple of weeks with Chark and Cole and Robinson.
Luton can sling it,
man. I'm telling you, just give him that. How in the world do they put that on the field? Allen Robinson leads the league in public displays of sideline anger. I don't know if that's a stat. We need to call what? Next Gen Stats? Got to call powered by Amazon? Call him up. Is that a Next Gen stat? Is that an official stat? Next Gen, Old Gen, Current Gen? Jen Garner? I mean, what do we got? Seriously. It took me a while to figure that one out. You know, I mean.
What's in your wallet?
What's in your wallet?
How many times can you see Allen Robinson give a death stare to somebody on that sideline, or take his helmet, slam it in frustration, or see a tweet? Allen Robinson has just slammed his helmet in frustration.
Can we get a free Allen Robinson campaign going?
Oh, man. I'm harnessing the Bears fan angst and disappointment and anger. Poor Nick Foles, too. Good news is, apparently, Mike Garafolo, my colleague at the NFL Media Group, went on Good Morning Football today and said that the Foles injury that had him carted off does not appear to be serious. It's a hip/leg. And, you know, Matt Nagy, who after the game last night was already talking about Mitchell Trubisky's possible readiness coming back from injuring himself in the one snap he took over the last month and a half. Because the Bears are on a bye week. Talking about Mitchell's possible readiness to take the controls against for the Bears. Let me look it up. I don't even need to. The Packers. Oh, my gosh. What an absolute, total, unmitigated disaster of a collapse. Once upon a time, 5-1. Tons of smoke, tons of mirrors. Everybody's wondering, you know, who the Bears are. And, you know, the axiom that I was always using, as I always do here, is you are what you are. And you are what you are, which is 5-1. And they are what they are. 5-1 team, right?
Right.
But then there's the other axiom that's been out there for a little bit less of time. But the Bears are who we thought they were. The Bears are who we thought they were. They've lost 4 in a row. And Trubisky was 3-0. You can do the math. Since moving Foles, they have lost twice as much as they've won. These are facts. Now then, the Vikings are 4-5, and they got themselves a bona fide superstar in Dalvin Cook, who, when you put it all together with McCaffrey barely being able to play this year so far, and Saquon being out after just the second week, and then Zeke Elliott being on the proverbial National Football League milk carton, Dalvin Cook is the top running back in this league. And he leads in every possible metric and didn't even play every single game that the Vikings have played this year because he was hurt too. He's dynamite, man. And the Minnesota Vikings, once upon a time, 1-5. They're now 4-5. And I'm still going higher register here because you're still 4-5 in a conference where there's a ton of 6-3 teams, and they still have to crack a lineup in that wild card that will include whoever doesn't win the NFC South.
Right.
And the two teams appear that won't win the NFC West. Gonna have to crack that lineup because the NFC East is not providing a second team, that's for sure. But and it sure doesn't look like the NFC North is providing a second team either. But maybe it's the Vikings.
Schedule's nice.
Because the Minnesota Vikings will take down the Dallas Cowboys next, and it does appear that Andy Dalton's ready to go.
Did you say take down?
They take on, different prepositions.
By the way, I heard take down.
That's
well.
What I thought.
I heard take
Did
down.
Did I say that? I meant take on.
The audacity.
I apologize. I swear to God I said take on, but maybe it's my inner monologue coming out. Maybe it's the cardigan talking. Then it's Carolina, Jacksonville. You know. Give them three wins right there. That's a 7-5 team.
Yeah, it is.
Getting ready to take on Tampa in week 14 before finishing up against Chicago at New Orleans at Detroit. Yeah.
10 wins, maybe.
Yeah. And I know there was some fun people had at Cousins jumping around like he just won the Super Bowl. But that was his first Monday night win as we all know he has not performed very well under the lights. Monday Night Football, we knew going in he had yet to win on Monday Night Football. You saw that peyote fever dream-induced office space graphic that that Monday Night Football put up there.
Yep.
How about Namath hadn't won on Monday Night Football at all? How about that? Did you see that? Namath was 0-6 on Monday Night Football. He also did birth the franchise. He did play in the first one. And then Archie Manning was the other one. And as Levy even pointed out, he looked pretty buff. He looked very hockey-y. Poor Archie. Put him in the ants bag, too. Come on now. Let's not do Archie Manning like that, all right? The ants paper bag. Oh, and as if, wait a minute, the things aren't bad enough for Chicago fans. Theo Epstein just resigned. Don Bowie just got in my ear and told me that. He just resigned from the Cubs. That's it?
Yeah, effective on the 20th.
Or is he going to hook up with Werner, Tom Werner? And you see about that? That the Red Sox owners and Theo might get together and create some sort of super organization that's going to run all of sports?
I totally.
You started the super team, bro.
That's it.
I'm okay with that. I would much rather Theo Epstein become the commissioner
of baseball.
Ooh,
yes.
That was actually a good idea.
Huh.
I like that.
I mean, you have to take a pay cut. But
is Theo even 40 years old yet?
I would say he's probably mid-40s.
I think he's like 28.
He still is.
He's 28.
46.
The Doogie Howser of baseball.
I mean, he was Red Sox GM and like at 28.
Amazing.
He's amazing. I love that guy.
He's 48. He's about to. Like, what's his next act right there? Unbelievable. All right, Chicago fans.
React to me.
Feeling you. Naperville, feeling you.
North side.
Schaumburg, hello. Oh, but I can name all those places. I was the
Northwest.
For Northwest University, yeah. Medill School of Journalism, made about $30 a game stringing for the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I drove all over. I drove all over Chicagoland, running up to coaches of high school teams saying, what's this stat? Who led this? Who led that?
I remember.
What year? I would call them in. 1994. So if you saw a guy with a flock of seagulls type of hairdo in Wheeling, Illinois, asking you who is your leading rusher for the game, that was me, man.
Do you still have all your clippings?
Clippings? Well, I didn't write anything. I called them in.
That's what a stringer. Stringer.
I was stringing. Yeah, I didn't write for the Chicago Tribune, but I did actually put it on my resume to get hired in Redding, California.
Of course you did.
Oh, you
and the resume that I got caught copying in the printer by my news director in Redding, California, that I sent along with my tape that ESPN just saw, put it on there. I think it's in my Wikipedia page that I wrote for the Chicago Tribune. I did not write for the Chicago Tribune. I called in statistics for the Chicago Tribune all over Chicagoland.
For high school games, right?
For high school games, yes.
I did that for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Broadcasting career, early years,
early
90
years.
To 96. Eisen was the first staff writer for the Staten Island Advance from 90 to 93.
Thank you for pronouncing it like the locals do, putting the syllable, the accent on the first syllable. It's not the Advance, it's the Advance.
Advance.
And the Chicago Tribune in 93 and 94.
I literally called in to say, hey, Wheeling just beat Schaumburg. Here's the final score. At any rate, that's your Chicago sports update. From the last 40 years. Oh, my gosh. Bears are 5-5. They were 5-1. What do you do? What do you do? Because you're going to have to make a decision.
What you're not starting Tyler Bray, that's for sure.
Trade for Sam Darnold.
Well, this offseason, they can't do it. Yeah. No,
trade for Sam Darnold. Why not? Somebody needs Sam. They've got a. That is a wide open quarterback position. And the question is, what does ownership do? You keep the general manager? Do you keep the coach? Do you blow them all out? The rumor's swirling about my college head coach right now.
Sure is.
Bring him to Chicago. You know, the guy who got treated like a Pez dispenser by Ditka.
But then who's going to coach the quarterbacks?
Nice. Sorry. All right, dude.
Sorry.
What's your school's record since I had...
Dino
Babers calling to wish you a happy birthday in 2019. What is the record then?
7-18 or something.
The cooler over there should pipe down.
I mean, I didn't have him call in.
All right, so we've got ourselves a bunch of guests here today that we're very excited about. We got two pop culture guests. The actor Ryan Phillippe, who's in Big Sky, that debuts tonight on ABC, new David E. Kelly show.
I am pumped for this.
Okay, and he's a diehard Eagles fan. And his team's 3-5-1, so he's probably very happy that he's got a TV show coming out tonight. Not pleased about his sports team. He's a diehard Eagles fan. Always enjoy our chats. The fantastic Lindsay Vonn, she is the host of Amazon Prime Video's new show about dogs called The Pack. She'll join. I have not spoken to her since we shared a couch together on Shark Week a couple of years ago.
Hey, now.
Well, the show, we sat on a couch, Chris.
Got it.
Bruce Arians is dialing in about a half an hour from now. One of the craziest storylines of 2020 is Bucks can't play at night. Nick Foles and that offense. How the hell did that happen? But they can't play at night in their next games against the Rams at night, Monday Night Football. It's in six games.
And the Rams are good, man. Rams
are good. And then first up is Greg Sankey. He's going to be calling in 3 minutes' time. I want to be on time for the SEC commissioner. Are they going to delay the SEC championship game? What about the college football playoffs? Bob Bowlesby kind of throw that one out there, saying that they're not thinking about it, but it's on the table about pushing back the college football playoffs. And then, by the way, college basketball begins a week from tomorrow. How the hell is that going to happen? Okay.
Jim Boeheim got COVID.
And you know, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Q's shut down everything.
I am knocking on wood if you're with me. And I'm pounding on this table about expand the college football playoffs right now. What about BYU, Cincinnati? Wisconsin looked pretty damn good against my school. Just two games. What are they going to say? Basically, you're only 5-0. I'm sorry. Right. Or, hey, Ohio State, you lost to Wisconsin, so you're both out. Really? That's what they're going to tell the Big Ten?
That was one of my overreactions yesterday. We didn't get to expand it to 16 just for this year.
16 is too much. 8 to me would be just fine. 16 would be, I think that would make everybody's head explode. But we'll ask Greg Sankey. Lots to talk about with the newsmaker, two newsmakers in hour number one. And then you at 844-204-RICH. Our poll question's dynamite because it's Scorsese's birthday. Ryan Phillippe, Lindsay Vonn, and you. 844-204-RICH. Give us a call if you want. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on Peacock, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, will be joining us when our radio audience rejoins us in less than 40 seconds. Chris, our poll question at Rich Eisen Show, is it up yet so I can hit with a retweet?
It is up.
Hit it real quick. Go for it.
It's Martin Scorsese's birthday. What is the best Scorsese movie this century? Okay, so that eliminates all the old hits. We're looking at the 2000s on. Gangs of New York, The Aviator, The Departed. He won the Oscar for that. Wolf of Wall Street. Hit it right now.
All right. Gangs of New York, Wolf of Wall Street, The Departed. Great photograph right there. We got.
I mean,
that's Jack Nicholson talking about there's a rat and then The Aviator.
By the way, Leo DiCaprio in all of these movies.
There you go. I would absolutely hook up with Scorsese, too, if I'm...
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, I mean...
Marty, what do you got for me?
Of course.
By the way, Scorsese and Tarantino.
Yeah, it's like...
Not a bad duo to be hooking your career up to, right?
Nope.
Not bad.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network alongside our Peacock stream, Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, will be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. The actor Ryan Phillippe and then the champion skier Lindsey Vonn will be joining us in hour numbers 2 and 3. You should as well. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. But we're pleased to have back here on the show a gentleman who I last spoke with during the summer. And now here we are a week before Thanksgiving in the middle of a college football season that is fraught with, as we know, quite a bit going on, and college basketball tipping off in a week. The commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Commissioner?
I'm well, Rich. I'm, you know, making it through day by day, right?
Yeah, I know. That's one of those, I guess, default ways to start a conversation, but it is it is infused with quite a bit these days. How much is your day filled up with COVID-19, Commissioner?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, when you go back to when we last spoke from that point, into the start of football season, I was remarking to people everything we did was about COVID. We didn't do our normal preseason work like at my level. My staff took care of that with our campuses to make it work. And I looked at our deputy commissioner and said, we're not even talking about, like, you know, what are we doing with down markers or, you know, the replay structure. Those things all have to be in place. And it's the same. I just left a phone call with John Calipari right before him with Bruce Pearl. And we're just talking about what's coming next week with the start of basketball season, not to mention the disruptions we had last week in football, one announced yesterday, AD call where we're on for almost 2 hours. And I'll bet you 75% of that content is driven out of the current environment.
So let's start with basketball, since you said you just got off the phone with both Calipari and Bruce Pearl. Look, you know, at least you in the NFL and college football in the NFL are going at it. The first leagues, I guess, in a contact sport going at it outside of a bubble. We saw the NBA had a bubble up. I have no idea. I'll be honest. How do you play college basketball in this environment, Commissioner? How do you do it?
Well, you take a step back. So we're going to have slimmed down crowds. It'll be a different atmosphere. We've learned that from the NFL, and I think Alan Sills, our chief medical officer, has said this. We've learned as well. It's the eat, meet, and greet part. It's not the competition and the practice and the playing of games. It's what happens around the games. And so we've heightened our level of attention. I think later today we're making an announcement on these Kinexon devices that were part of our learning from the NFL. I wear one every day here. It's a proximity tracker. We've used them in scrimmages in basketball with officials and players to figure out how much time are people spending near each other. You know, we'll get into the space between benches. So we've learned, whether it's soccer, we're playing volleyball indoors right now and doing that in a healthy way. We have to be attentive to what happens outside of just the game. That will help us actually play the games.
So I guess front load what your announcement is. I wear one of those contact tracers, too, when I'm on campus at NFL Network. And I know that is very helpful when somebody does test positive to figure out where they are and where they've been masked up and whether they're technically known as a close contact, so on and so forth. But how will that allow an uninterrupted college basketball season, in your estimation?
Well, it facilitates. It doesn't guarantee. And just like in football season, and I probably said this back in our prior conversation, there aren't any guarantees in this environment. You're going to have to be prepared for disruption. And we've learned that real life, that's happening. The elements of what we're doing includes testing. It includes the tracking devices. And what you learn is when that red light starts beeping, get away, right? That's part of the help in limiting contact tracing. And it's illustrative right now. If every healthy player in football in the SEC could actually play, and I'm talking about contact racing, we'd be playing football without disruption. And so the learning experience is you have to adapt to the environment in order to facilitate healthy play. And it's not simply contact tracing. It's not simply, you know, fancy electronic devices. It's not simply testing. It is overall attention to going through a whole different operating approach so that you limit your exposure to people who may be positive outside your mini bubble on campus. And keep in mind, Rich, we're starting basketball at a time when our campuses will pretty much empty out because they're ending residential learning primarily for Thanksgiving. And so we've got 6 to 7 weeks to support non-conference and conference competition through these protocols. And we think we can do it in a healthy way. The challenge will be to actually do so.
Greg Sankey, Southeastern Commissioner, Conference Commissioner, SEC Commissioner, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. And again, you know, I kind of hit this with you back in June in a facetious way, but we're all becoming, best we can, public health experts, even though we're not trained to do that. So I ask that this next question to you in that light is, what are you hearing on the front lines, if you will, of the sports world about the vaccines that we're reading about and how that might somehow, some way change the outlook for a college basketball season to be done uninterrupted? And then maybe talking about the football season as we move on. What are you hearing about that, Commissioner?
Yeah, so that's where you and I are both, like, suffering, right, from sudden expertism on public health
issues.
Sudden
expertism, I love
that.
Because,
yeah, we're learning and we're reading, and we have been in communication with immunologists, infectious disease specialists, virologists, and I've always heard privately about the opportunity, once the calendar flips, for the vaccine to exist and to be effective. The issue will be distribution and its real efficacy in the public. And so our doctors have said, you know, it's going to go to this is my interpretation, to healthcare workers, to frontline workers first. There's an orderliness to what's anticipated. I don't think that impacts basketball season from the standpoint of a vaccine, making sure everything's well. What I've said to our staff and to our campus leadership is we're going to be operating in this environment through the basketball season and in many ways probably through the academic year. And again, that's where I want to just qualify my sudden expertism that I'm not the public health official that determines this. We then talk about next year. So I've been asked about 21 football season and I'm likely more optimistic about a return to, and I'll put air quotes around normal.
Right.
You know, when we get into our next academic year, then believing we're going to have a whole different operating environment emerge in February or in March or in April. We're going to have to be dealing with these adjustments and virus sensitivities, I would anticipate, through the academic year, but I'm not the one who actually knows and determines that. It's just my synthesis of all that I've heard.
Let's move to football then. Greg Sankey, SEC Commissioner here on the Rich Eisen Show. As you are aware, I'll just frame it for those who might not. There are more canceled games this week or postponed games this week for the SEC than there were games that were actually played due to COVID-19. What is the status of your regular season and conference game on December 19th as it currently stands right now?
Yeah, we could still complete all 10 games for all 14 teams by December 19th. We had talked privately and we've announced publicly that we'd use the 19th for rescheduling of games that don't involve teams in the championship game. We've got plans to do that. We announced one other disruption yesterday, really as an outcome of contact tracing involving Texas A&M, to go back a week. This is not like an outbreak. The reality is there's a set of circumstances, opt-outs early in the year, contact tracing. There have been positive tests, but that's a relatively small number. And so my statement earlier that if every healthy player was involved in playing, we wouldn't have had any disruption. But that's not our environment. So we're still focused on the finish line of December 19th. You know, there's talk and probably some articles even today written about, oh, do you adjust the college football playoff? Yates. You know, I'm one who thinks we need to have a finish line. I've finished 41 marathons in my life. One of those was mismeasured. That last half mile that was mismeasured way back in that one is a long part of a journey. And this has been a marathon for us. And so I'm focused on the 19th as that finish line for our conference schedule.
Understood that you wouldn't want to move a finish line, but as you know, the virus has its own say. Is there a deadline by which, a fail-safe point by which those New Year's six, as well as the college football playoffs, needs to be adjusted? And are we approaching that?
Well, certainly we're approaching it. I don't have, in my own league, an infinite opportunity to reschedule games. We made plans for disruption, and we're seeing that those plans were well-informed. But it's not as if you can just keep rescheduling. I do think there has to be an end. I have not timelined out by when you'd have to decide an alteration at the end of the season. I'm literally like week to week right now. And so the emphasis is we're going through testing today. That informs decision-making tomorrow, testing Thursday, decision-making on Friday. We've got six games scheduled. The ability to play those guide us forward. I don't think you're going to just adjust with a week's limit if you're going to change dates. And that's why, Rich, I really focus on the 19th as our finish line. And we've made adjustments to tiebreaker policies and championship qualification policies that just acknowledge there may be disruption and we don't play every game.
And in a few minutes I have left with you, I'd like to focus on the college football playoffs. What is your stance as the commissioner of the SEC on conferences that won't play as many games as you? May raising their hands and saying we want somebody with maybe five games, six games. Big Ten and Wisconsin leaps to mind because of COVID. They've only played twice. They've yet to play a team that's ranked. What would be your stance as the SEC commissioner about one of those teams saying they should get one of the four spots in the college football playoffs?
My stance is consistent criteria that's existed, which is we charge that selection committee with looking at the full scope of schedules. And we know back when the Big 12 did not have a championship game that the reference to every data point being very meaningful. And a league like ours playing 10 conference games in arguably the most rigorous conference schedule of all has great meaning. And if teams play fewer than that, that has to be taken in consideration. And if we're going all the way down to a team, you know, having success with half as many games, the selection committee is going to have a responsibility to fully evaluate the total rigor of a 10-game conference schedule versus those who may be less. And that's an outcome of decision-making, and we were attentive to that as we made medical decisions and start date decisions and moving to a conference-only schedule, which has facilitated our ability to play, and others made those decisions, all of which have implications when we come down to the end of the season.
But taking a template that's been used in the past for right now might not really be operative, Commissioner, to parry with you here on this front. And I've been pounding the table here about expanding the college football playoffs this year. I mean, baseball, as we know, expanded its playoffs. The NFL has a plan to expand its playoffs should cancellations bring that about. We saw what the NBA and the NHL did about its playoffs. Totally different because of the year. Why not expand your playoffs? Let more teams in this year and take the pressure off the committee in that regard, and also maybe give more football games to everybody. What about that idea?
Well, a few reasons. One is the more you add, and we're living it now, the more potential you have for disruption. We also have other postseason opportunities that remain important. We have the ability to conduct healthy competition, which we've demonstrated, but the more and more and more you add on, the more likely you are not to reach that finish line, which I referenced earlier. There are limits on the number of games in which participants can play. So we have some teams that by the time they play a championship game will play 12 total college football games. Mm-hmm. Are we going to add more and more? Where are we going to do that? And when are we going to do that? Are all complexities that have guided us back, and I think in a well-informed way, to maintain the 14 playoff. That doesn't mean it's not debatable. That doesn't mean everyone agrees. But I'm of the view that that gives us the best opportunity to still name a national champion, even though we know there's going to be plenty of debate about, around those decisions.
So basically, it's going to be four teams, and if you could play it by the date that you can play it, that's it. There's not going to be any changes to anything else. Just get to that finish line the way that you've planned it.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
Yeah. Sure, that's clearly our direction now, but as I acknowledged earlier, you can see debate around those dates that will likely be introduced. We've had a prior conversation about the potential for expansion among the involved commissioners and Jack Swarbrick at Notre Dame's part of the management committee, and agreed that four provides us the best opportunity to name a national champion in this environment.
All right, last question for you. Have you had a conversation with Nick Saban to mask up? And if so, how did that go?
Actually, that one went well. I've had conversations with others that have not gone so well. I view our head coaches as having the primary responsibilities to set the tone on this expectation. When we started our plans to play, there were certain expectations, one of which was masking. So, Gus Malzahn, Nick, I'm trying to run through the guys that have been at the top. We've even had some pretty good arguments between coaches. They've all been masked up, and where we've had deficiencies, believe me, we've noted it. I have staff, believe it or not, who never envisioned in their life Monday morning film review counting the number of times coaches show up with masks on. And I've had conversations like, hey, the guy in the green shirt who's signaling plays, I'm going to remove him from the sideline if he doesn't wear the mask. And then the next week, it's the guy in the yellow shirt. So I'm not sure if they're trying to hide the guy based on shirt color, but we've made the expectation clear.
Wow.
Try to do it, objectively and fairly, knowing you can have slips. But that's part of the protocol we've adopted to facilitate healthy play.
Commissioner, really appreciate our chat. Again, I really always enjoy our conversations. And good luck completing these seasons, getting another one started, and let's chat down the road. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Nothing's easy in this environment, but appreciate the conversation.
Yeah, me too. That's the SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tons of information there, including he's completed 41 marathons, which I would also drop casually in every conversation if I had that.
A big flex.
Wow. Let's take a break so we're on time for Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are taking on the Rams in Week 11 on Monday Night Football. Lots to talk about with him. That's next on the Rich Eisen Show. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, and Peacock is making its way to the great cast and crew and the awesomeness of Yellowstone. Yellowstone is joining the Peacock family with season 3 exclusively on November 22nd. Whether you're a newcomer to the ranch or a seasoned pro, don't miss this season. Again, Peacock starts streaming Yellowstone today, and season 3 is coming on November 22nd, just in time for Thanksgiving. Great show, man. Yellowstone is a terrific program.
I got to get back into it. I watched season 1, so I got to.
Costner doing television is just,
More Costner is better for everyone.
More Costner is better for everyone. You know what we want to show the kids is Hidden Figures is what we want to show them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
For sure.
So there's that to watch with a little Costner for the kids. Right back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We are here, Sirius XM, Channel 211, and our flagship station, the Mightier 1090 in Southern California. The Mightier 10. Did you see the Fernando Tatis Jr. commercial that's going all over the place?
No.
About being the new face of baseball? It's excellent.
Well, I'm into it because he is the new face of baseball.
San Diego Padres, man, have the face of baseball. New face of baseball. How about that? We did show Naked Gun to the kids.
You did?
We did.
How'd that go?
Great. Just great. The line of Nice Beaver just had it stuffed, didn't get explained to the kids. But other than that,
I think that's a smart move.
But other than that, it was all good in the hood. And it's crazy. The baseball scene at the end.
Right.
I had to explain to them that Reggie Jackson in this role would be similar to, like, say, Mike Trout.
Okay.
At the time.
Like the biggest name and the best
right,
player.
It's not just anybody who is now
trying to kill the queen.
Right. It would be like Mike Trout. And also, Country Joe West had a cameo in that.
He did?
He did.
How'd he look?
It's amazing. He got the call right. Because, as you know, the umpires had Crescioni in a rundown.
I haven't watched that in a while.
I love this guy. I don't care who knows it. I enjoy our conversations. He always shoots it straight whenever I chat with him. And he's back here on the Rich Eisen Show with his Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting set to take on the Rams on Monday Night Football after dismantling Carolina. Nice bounce back victory for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Head coach Bruce Arians back here on the show. How are you, Coach?
Doing great, Rich. How you doing, buddy?
I am better for talking to you. All right, you are now 10 weeks into the season. Have you learned anything about Tom Brady that you did not know about in these 10 weeks? Anything?
A lot. And, okay. I think the biggest thing, and how great a job he does with young players, you know, he's like having another coach out there. You know, I'll tell a kid to do something, and, hey, pump your arms on this, and I got to tell him five times. Tom said, hey, can you pump your arms on it? Oh, yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So it's like the parent that doesn't get heard, but the peer gets heard pretty much in terms of...
No doubt. And, yeah, when he speaks, they all listen and all like little puppies. So it's been great. Unbelievable competitor and love everything about him.
What do you say to somebody like Brady after the loss you had against the Saints? Because in terms of being unprecedented, I mean, you usually don't get beat like that either yourself, but he's never been swept by a division opponent before, and he's 20 years in. What do you as a coach say to somebody like Brady after something like that?
Just go look at the tape and figure out why. You know, he's kind of like me. He's going to watch it that night and or then early next morning and get to it right away. So get the answers and hope and pray we get a chance to play him again.
Well, that would be a third time around, obviously, and then your team moved on very well against Carolina. My colleague Kurt Warner looks at the tape, looks at the film of your offense, and says Brady still doesn't look completely comfortable. Would you agree with an assessment like that, Coach?
Oh, totally. I mean, each and every week it's a learning experience of what Byron and I know, what he knows, and meshing them all together against a new opponent every single week. We're finally starting to have the same players out there with him. As far as receivers, we had a little bit of different offensive line this week for the first time. But it's been a learning experience, and it is every week. You know, having no offseason, no preseason games and all that really set us back.
So when do you think that comfort level hits? I mean, there's only so much runway left in this regular season. Coach,
probably next spring when we're all really comfortable.
No kidding. So that you basically have to deal with that for the rest of the season in that regard, huh?
I think so. Yeah. And look, now we should be better when we play a team second time around, which we weren't. We were good against the Panthers. We were terrible against the Saints. We haven't played the Falcons yet. So when you play them the second time, it should be a little bit easier. This time it was way off. It was horrible.
Bruce Arians here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then you've added a new receiver, and not just anybody. It's Antonio Brown. The off-the-field stuff is the off-the-field stuff, and I do want to ask you about that in a minute, but put a pin in that and ask you just the idea that you're trying to get comfortable in offense. You're adding somebody new. Was there any hesitancy on that front just to begin with, Coach?
Yeah, basically back in the spring was no, in the fall it was no, and then when Mike was down and then Chris was down and you're losing Pro Bowl players and there's a Pro Bowl player available after week eight, you pretty much owe it to the rest of your players. And, you know, me, I'm going to ask all my veteran guys, do you want this guy on our team? And that, to a man, yes, sir. Well, we think he's going to help us win for sure. And he's been... You know, he's been great since he's been here, and he knows the rules we put down, and he's been fantastic so far.
Well, and again, you're just in terms of Brown and what he brings to the team offensively, That's one thing. I do want to ask you this, Bruce, because I know one of the things that you have been all about is women's issues, and you haven't just talked the talk. You've walked the walk. You have brought women into football in a way that other coaches don't. And some women's groups were wondering why you would bring Antonio Brown in. Have you had conversations with anybody on that front? And what would you say to them about that?
Yeah, I've answered that one a few times, Rich, and it's, you know, trust me. I mean, I think what you said, the record of how I've pioneered for them, just trust me in the fact that I'm going to give this guy this chance, and it's just a chance, and let all that handle itself in the courts. And all I can ask him to do is trust me on it.
Bruce Arians here on the Rich Eisen Show. So about this team on Monday night, this is one I didn't see coming in terms of storylines for the 2020 season, that the Bucs have trouble playing at night, and it's something you as a coach need to address. I didn't see that one coming. Is there an issue with your team playing at night, Coach?
It has been so far. It really has been so far, so we can't dodge it. We've gotten off to terrible starts in all three night games so far. And we're going to change some things up, practice at night, do some more stuff Monday morning than we have been to hopefully get off to a fast start. You know, it's when you're playing Monday night football, you come to the stadium expecting all this excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And you walk into the Meadowlands and there's not a soul there. And it's almost a letdown. So we've got to figure out ways. Same thing in Chicago. You're going to Soldier Field and there's not, it's just you and the other team. So you got to build that up yourself. We have a few fans here and I thought that would help us. It didn't against New Orleans. We got to a very slow start. So yeah, we got to try something different.
What are you going to try? What are you putting into place that maybe you're.
We're Friday and Saturday night. We're practicing at game time. So that we get used to that. And then Monday mornings, we'll get up, do some light exercise stuff and have some meetings and hopefully kill some of that day. Now, Sunday night football, you watch games all day, but
right.
Monday night, it's soap operas and taking naps and just getting ready.
Right. So, I mean, have you ever experienced this with a team? Obviously, you mentioned empty stadiums is an issue. Clearly, that's never happened before. But have you ever, in any of your days, college, pro, seen a team that might have an issue with a night game? Have you seen that before?
Our first year in Arizona, when teams don't play it in prime time very often, it sometimes they get overhyped.
Mm-hmm.
Which can also make you look like you come out flat, but you're overhyped. And I think you have to learn how to play in prime time. You know, the Steelers play in prime time all the time, so it was never anything for us. And Bill Cowher always practiced on Friday night, whatever time the game was scheduled for. We did not do that with Mike Tomlin, but so it's. I think you have to learn to play in prime time, especially in 2020 when it's really dead in the stadium.
Bruce Arians here on the Rich Eisen Show. A couple minutes left with the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We have on Monday a segment here on this show, Coach, called Overreaction Monday. My colleague gives me a statement that people are maybe saying in the media, and I say if it's a reaction or not, overreaction or not. One that he threw me yesterday says, outside of Brady, the most important player on offense for the Buccaneers could be Ronald Jones. Would you agree with that assessment, Coach?
I think the running game, you know, the running game, as much as Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette, the running game would be the next most valuable, yes.
So because it provides the balance that's necessary, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's amazing how one week it's difficult for you to run at all or you're so imbalanced because of the score, and then the next week you get 95 more yards on one single run potentially than you had all previous game.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's the beauty of the game. But, you know, the New Orleans one was more me trying to get something jump-started. We went to two-minute offense real early
right.
to try to get something going, and it didn't work. So that run, that four or five runs, whatever it was, that's all on me.
And then before I let you go, something that I'm sure you're not thinking too much about, but we in the media, certainly I, notice these things. What's with the box that you're wearing across your chest What's that about? Where did that one come from?
You know, that's just the normal belt.
Yeah, right.
And I have to wear that so tight, it affects a nerve in my leg. And so I started wearing it on my shoulder, and I haven't had the problem with the nerve down my leg during the games.
Is that right?
It was one of our doctors said, you know, that belt's so tight, that can cause that problem. It's like the superficial nerves, like you got shingles
right.
burning down your leg the whole time of the game. So I was like, let me throw it over my shoulder and see if it works. And it's a hell of a lot more comfortable.
Voila, just like that. And then you've gone face shield and then the thing across your chest. And then all of a sudden you're more focused on the game, essentially, is what you're saying.
Much easier. It's a lot cooler without that mask.
How about that? Okay. Well, just wanted to. These are the things I notice, you know, and I just want to make sure that.
A couple of people have asked me about it.
Yeah, because I know that goes around the waist usually and not, you know, over the shoulder like that, but is for a good reason.
It's a fashion statement.
Okay, that's two. It does look good on you. I'll tell you, it does look good on you. Thanks for the call, Coach. Really appreciate
slimming.
It.
It's more slimming, Rich. Thanks, brother.
It's like stripes. Is that what you're saying? It's like vertical stripes.
Yeah vertical. Or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's working. Looks good on you, though. Thanks for the call, Coach. Let's chat down the line, and best of luck to you moving forward.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Anytime, brother.
You go. That's bye-bye. It. That's Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach Bruce Arians. I knew it had to be something. Remember we had Rick Stroud on? I'm like, you should ask him.
Something.
Around the waist. Hits a nerve. You can't have that.
It's like Richard Seymour last year at the World Series of Poker. Remember? He wore that weird thing across his chest, and we had to find out what it was about.
The only thing I can think of, again, I think of everything in pop culture terms because that's just the way my brain is wired. Like, for instance, last night, the number of times that the Monday Night Football crew mentioned the plays were no longer being called by Matt Nagy, Bears head coach, but by Bears offensive coordinator Bill Lazor. I kept thinking of Lazor. I kept thinking of the Dr. Evil I want. You know what? That's what the Bears offense needs.
Dr. Evil?
No, they need sharks with freaking lasers on their heads.
They need something.
They need something. Lasers. I need freaking lasers.
Freaking lasers? Why not?
Right? So I thought when I first saw Arians wear the belt around his shoulder and across his chest, I thought whatever Chewbacca wears,
right?
Whatever Chewbacca wears over his what is that? Is that like a medal of some? It's like an honorific or something. I know Star Wars fans are probably screaming at their radios or televisions. What is it?
Oh, I'm looking it up.
Mike looked it up because he can multitask at the end of an hour with a heart out coming in 40 seconds on the radio side.
It's a bandolier.
You got look at T.J. Jefferson's holding it up. That does look like again. It's a bandolier.
Yep.
It looks like exactly what Bruce Arians is doing with his communications belt.
I found it on Wikipedia.
How you doing, Chewbacca?
I'm here all week.
Wikipedia. Is that what it is called, or you just made that up?
I swear to God, it's Star Wars fandom.
Wikipedia, everybody.
Why wouldn't it be?
Matt Needham's gonna love it. Matt, love that one.
My four downs coming up. I want to make a rule change in the NFL in terms of replay and my hot take. We left some breadcrumbs with Florio on it yesterday. That's coming up, along with Ryan Phillippe. Still here on our Peacock side of things. And then we need to introduce our poll question as well to the radio audience that we've already introduced here to our Peacock audience. We've also put it up on our
It already has
media.
A ton of votes.
Well, I hit it with a little retweet.
Yeah.
What's the best Martin Scorsese movie from this century? Oof. Don, do you also have the photograph that's now 1 year old of me? Can you unearth it?
Accosting
me with Scorsese Martin Scorsese in London.
Martin, where's my money?
I got Martin in London last year.
Martin does not want to be part of this photo.
That's buried deep in the system.
I've taken a ton of selfies, Rich. He's not happy in that selfie.
He said, okay. He told two members of security, the restaurant security and his own personal security. And he also told the waiter who jumped in there like he was Secret Service.
He said,
it's okay. Because I went up to him moments before and told him, I'm a fan. We'll revisit this issue. This took 2 hours
that, right?
to go.
You well, your wife
like
told, you not to,
tons of heist.
Told you not to do it.
I mean,
Susie told me don't do it.
Yeah.
Guess what I did?
You did it.
You did it.
And I've got a selfie. I've got a selfie with him and Lady Gaga.
Oh, no.
Not mad at you.
I have both of them today, though, that you don't have.
That's called a tease. Hour two coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.